Welcome to ApplauseCast. Bill Hedge interviews 11-time Grammy Award winner, producer, songwriter, and singer with Santana, Tony Lindsay, having performed and recorded with music legends such as Aretha Franklin, Al Jarreau, and Lou Rawls. Tony is just now releasing his third CD entitled Tony Lindsay. He discusses the creative process behind his work, his early days in the music business, and we take a director's cut of a track from his new CD. We join the interview during a soundcheck at Redwood City's Little Fox Theater, as Tony is asked to outline what differences there are between his new CD and his previous CDs, Different Moods and The Message is Love. So what you wanted to do with the CD was dramatically different from what you've done with previous CDs?
Oh yeah, completely. And mainly because of just the different people that I got involved as far as co-writing with them and producing and all of that stuff. I kind of let, you know, we would write the songs together, and then certain songs, like for instance, the one that I wrote by myself on there is called Mama. Mm-hmm. And of course, I know you probably all know what that one's about.
Yeah,
it's about everybody's got a mom.
Everybody's got a mom.
You know, you
got
to have a song about your mother on your CD. You just was have
there,
to have it.
With all the producers, was there very much competition between them?
None, because they none of them.
Did you set up a way of communicating between them to sort of avoid that?
Actually, I never. None of them knew what the other ones were doing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They didn't know. They knew who else was involved.
Right.
But as far as hearing the material and all that, I never played it.
So you intentionally didn't want to mix your colors?
Because I didn't want it to be a producer's competition.
Right.
I wanted
exactly.
it to be a Tony Lindsay CD.
Mm-hmm.
And me being the common thread through all of it, you know, I knew what was going on. And it was funny because Ben Jonas is the guy who produced Crush and a couple other ones on there. He's the only one that asked, hey, can I hear, some of the other stuff? And I said, no. You don't have to concern yourself with that. I said, let's just concentrate on getting
one.
This stuff right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I said, I'll tell you if we're getting too far away from where I need to be.
Mm-hmm. So what is the title of your CD?
It's self-titled, Tony Lindsay.
Ah, excellent.
And you can go on TonyLindsay.com. That's Lindsay. And, yeah, check out the website.
Oh, I've already looked at it. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
really
nice flash animations and stuff, even a little bit of sound thrown in there.
All of that stuff. You know, it's amazing how when you're trying to do something positive, how help just comes from everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's I just love it, you know.
Yeah. One of the things that really struck me is I wasn't sure whether the four or five songs that you had on that were samples from your new CD or not. Is that what they're from?
Yeah,
where they're from?
They're from the new CD.
I was really struck by how different each one was.
Yeah.
You know, like you've got Crush, you've got Mama, From the Toes Up.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful chord successions in that are just really sensual, but was kind of a kick. It was really nice.
Yeah, it was fun doing it. And then they have the ballads on there, like, I Can't Pretend. I wrote that tune like 5 years ago. And I got to the point in the song where I was stuck. Because, you know, you get that writer's block, whether you're writing a book or a song or whatever. Some songs just do that to you. Because that song is so delicate that I wanted to make sure that I didn't mess it up.
You did? I was really struck by the subtle doubling of the voices and the harmonies you used.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a little bit of what a really good madrigal group might sound like. You know, it has that sort of intimacy about it that I really liked. And yet you also were able to maintain the clarity of enunciation of every word. And it was really
That's one of the big things. One of my big pet peeves about a lot of the new music that's out now. You know, you don't even understand what anybody's saying until you get to the chorus of the song. Then, you know, that kind of stands out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're trying to listen to the verses and all of that. And,
oh, yes.
You know, what is the name of this tune? They do it all the time.
Yeah, it's true. You've worked with the OJs, Al Jarreau, Aretha Franklin, Steve Winfield, Lou Rawls.
Mm-hmm.
How much of those people have influenced? Let's just talk about this CD.
Like, are there particular songs influenced by particular performers you've worked with?
Actually, not at all. Oh, yeah. My major influence is definitely Lou Rawls was in there. Mm-hmm. My number one guy that I just love is Donnie Hathaway. Mm. He was number one on my list. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Lou Rawls, Teddy Pendergrass, Billy Paul. And I used to listen to Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald and all of those people. And I would take pieces from them, mm-hmm. and I just came up with my own style out of it. And, I do vocal instruction, too. And mm-hmm. I tell my students all the time, you know, you can bring your stuff in and try to sound like anybody you want.
Yeah.
But you have to get your own handprint mm-hmm. there somewhere. So take all these influences, but come up with your own thing.
Right.
It's very important to do that. Otherwise, you're just going to sound like somebody else.
One of the goals of the San Jose Jazz Society is to help educate young people about jazz, structure, et cetera, but also a little bit about what it's like to have a career in jazz, mm-hmm. in popular music. Is there any particular advice you'd give to young people? You talk about students. And
well, you know, so many people look for the easy way out of things.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to get in and do it. Mm-hmm. There's no getting around it. Just find people to go and jam with, play with. I mean, I did it. You know, you just have to do that. Mm-hmm. Then you start making these different connections and you know, try your hardest to go ahead and try to get a band started. Mm-hmm. Go do gigs wherever you can get hired. When I was 8 years old, we had this singing group, an a cappella singing group called Four of a Kind back in upstate New York where I was born and raised in Kingston. Mm-hmm. And we were out there singing all the time, and one of the older guys in one of the singing groups, you know, heard us and say, hey, you know, I can help you guys out. So he helped us out with learning how to sing harmonies and all of this kind of stuff and just singing together. Mm-hmm. And we got so he would help us learn a whole bunch of tunes. Mm-hmm. The Beatles were hot then, you know. So we would learn all of that stuff. We learned everything we could. And my dad worked in the hotels in the area. Mm-hmm. So every time they had some kind of big event, you know, or if there was a talent show at our school or something like that, we always got in that stuff. And my dad would work it out so that he could have us come and sing at whatever event mm-hmm. was at the hotel. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he'd be the first one out. They couldn't pay us for it because we were too young. Mm-hmm. But he'd be the first one out pulling money out of his pocket and throwing it in the middle of the floor. And when he did that, I mean, everybody was just reaching in their pockets.
The pump.
I'm
sort
telling
of like
you.
Your dad was a shill in
yes,
sort of a way.
it was great.
That's brilliant.
We would walk out of there with a lot of money, and we made enough money at that age. Mm-hmm. So we went out. My mom's took us out. We bought little black pants, white shirts with bow ties, with little cummerbunds, and all of that stuff.
Reinvested in the
band. It was great. So that's where I started. That was 8 years old. I was the youngest kid in the band.
Wow. Seems like you're greatly influenced or helped along by your parents. Does this have an impact on the kinds of themes that you pick in the music? I notice, you know, Mama's an example of mm-hmm. your devotion to your mother and.
Actually, my mother and everybody else's mom.
Everybody,
too.
Yeah. Moms in general, sort of a Mother's Day.
Exactly.
In a sense. Are these themes that you pick in your music intentional? Are they conscious? Are they, are you trying to stand for something explicitly that you think maybe others maybe
well,
not?
You know, I'm one that I never really key in on stuff. Stuff kind of comes to me, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a track or a lyric or whatever. But one thing that I always did say is that I would never write or perform on a song that I couldn't play for my mother. Mm. If I can't play it for my mother, I'm not going to do it because, you know, it's just it's not worth it. I mean, I listen to a lot of today's stuff that's out, and I have nothing against, you know, rap or anything like that because I listen to the stuff.
Right.
But, you know, some of the lyrics, you know, and the way they downplay women and all this, it's like, yeah. you know, come on, take a couple more minutes, okay? Take a couple more months.
Ask yourself, and get a little where did you come
yeah,
from?
Exactly. And get a little bit more creative. You can say things in a roundabout or a different way without, you know, just blatantly coming out and
using
exactly. the language, you know.
So basically you're saying it is sort of a conscious effort. If it's not just from your from within you, you decide not to do certain kinds of music.
Yeah. It's really not necessary. Mm-hmm. It's not. And I come from the era of where they used to write. I mean, these guys write standard tunes, man. These songs just over years and years, they stand the test of time. And that's the kind of stuff that I want to write. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, I want somebody to say, man, I really like that song. I want to record that one myself. You know, that's more money coming back. and it's just me leaving a positive note in the industry is a rare thing these days. And that's the direction I want to hit.
Leading into the director's cut, what tune would you like to talk about today?
Oh, God, that's a hard one. Because I really love all the tunes on there. I can't pretend as much as I love all the tunes, I think I Can't Pretend might be my favorite one. Because I'm a ballad man. I love ballads.
Okay.
And actually, 6 Feet Under is pretty good, too. But I Can't Pretend. I'll go with that one. I Can't Pretend. Now, that song is one that I probably wrote. It must have been at least 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And what the song is about is back to relationships again. Mm-hmm. we go through life and, especially when you're a young kid and you have a lot of girlfriends and all that kind of stuff. But there's always one person, even whether it's male or female relationship, there's always one person that gets to you more than anybody mm-hmm. else can. And when that happens, no man, I don't care what you try to do. You can try to be Superman, Casanova, but it does not work with that person. They know what to do to turn your lights on. And that's what I Can't Pretend is about.
Who's the producer on this one?
Randy Amato.
The origin of this piece, how you talked about some of the origins of the other pieces, how they came about.
Actually, this one, I don't know if you're familiar with an artist by the name of Maxwell. He's R&B, really good. He's got this, there was this one tune that he wrote called Whenever, Wherever, Whatever. Mm-hmm. And it had just acoustic guitar, his vocal, and big string production thing behind it. And I heard that melody on his tune, and that thing stuck with me so much. And I remember one day, and I forgot where we were. I was on the road with Santana. And I woke up in the morning, and this melody just from out of nowhere, it was ringing in my head like crazy. Wow, that's cool. So I always carry, all of us carry a little traveling recording stuff, laptop, iPod, and all that stuff on the road with us. And I sat down and I put that melody down so I wouldn't forget it. Got back to the hotel after the gig that night and I started writing this song.
Wow.
But I got stuck at one point and it took me about 5 years to finish the tune. But I was working with Randy Amato on a session at his place, and he said, man, I want to play some stuff for you that I've been doing. So he started playing me all these pop tunes that he'd been producing. And I went, that's the guy that can help me finish this tune.
And so in a general way, he sort of broke the ice on
yep.
that one. Who's the guitarist?
Ken Harrell, who's playing with me tonight. Yeah. It's a fun doing this scene. This would sound great on the radio.
Sounds great. Sounds great everywhere. She's on four stars or four
equivalents. I can't pretend. Yeah. You've taken my heart to places where it's never been. Tables are filled. perfect ending.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. This is a wonderful CD. Wish you the best of luck with it.
Hey, thank you.
If I had a lot of money, it would be no good without you. Only the simple things in life will do. Yeah. I'd like to take a trip around the world, but it wouldn't be fun by myself. No, I'll do anything I have to do to win your heart. 'Cause baby, I got a crush on you. It don't matter what we do, as long as we're together.
As long as we're together.
So I do what I got to do, 'cause I've had a crush on you ever since I met you. Oh, 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 baby,
crush on you.
Yeah,
crush on you.
Sweeter than a beehive, honey.
This has been an ApplauseCast production. If you'd like to leave us email regarding tonight's podcast, drop us a line at ontheair@applausecast.com. If you'd like to have ApplauseCast produce a podcast for you or your organization, email us at sales@applausecast.com or call us at 650-400-3929. Thanks for listening.